everybody, welcome to the Highlight Show. This is a show within our show where we sit down and talk to people doing really cool stuff. It could be someone starting a restaurant, it could be a youth group, it could be somebody who has just gone through something hard and has a really cool story to tell. We sit down with them, we pick their brains, and we glean what life lessons we can learn from their journey. Give it a listen.
Ever since that night and moving forward, our life changed. And our life changed after that moment, and we knew right away we had to see God. That was God's smack in the face for us. See me now. See me now, because we have a purpose for you, or I have a purpose for you, and this is a time where you need to start fulfilling your purpose. And that's where all of this journey began.
And then you just went.
Yes. Yeah, wow. I trusted in him. I trusted so much in him. And the being led by faith is an understatement.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely an understatement for me. There are things that I would never, that I can't question. Or there are things that I don't even know sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I trust that this is what God wants me to do.
Right.
And I just need to fulfill this painting, finish this this brushstroke, and I just need to trust that God knows the bigger picture. And that's where it is.
Wow. Man, that's that's a big one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those things to where it's hard sometimes to see terrible things as grace.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, because that sucks.
Yes.
There's no way to say that differently, right? Like,
yeah,
that sucks bad. But what sucks more is if he hadn't reached down there and shook you.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
There's
a saying that I will always tell people, especially when they are beginning their journey with Christ. I will always tell them this: God's message will always be received. It's up to you if it's a whisper or a smack in the face.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's where it's at.
Interesting. Oh, man. Wow. Whew. Okay. And so how that was, what year was that? That was
2020.
Just 2020. So that's just been a couple of years. So
just a couple of years, yeah.
So you've been all in for 2-3 years now.
Yep.
How have the last couple of years been going? Like is it different? Are you, like, obviously it's different, like you just said.
Yes.
It was different, but like, is the processing still there, or is it just like, how is your faith, how's it going?
So yes. Yeah, thank you for asking that, because I get what you're trying to say, because as far as your journey goes, right, there's always going to be a struggle. But when you realize what the struggle really is, you tend to be okay about it. You tend to actually welcome it, because
mm-hmm.
you understand that storm allows you to be guided to where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You have to imagine yourself as the captain of a ship without a rudder, and that storm is actually God pushing you to where your sails need to go. And if you just trust that the struggles that you're in right now, and that all of the hardship that you're going through, it's just God pushing you to the right place at the right time that you are supposed to be in.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Have you, when you, I mean, I'm just going to call that the conversion event, just because I don't have a good phrase for it. But like, since that point, did you have a bunch in your life that you needed to reconcile?
Yes.
You know, like how did, you had your professional life, like you were already, were you the GM?
I was the GM at that point, yeah.
Okay, so your GM and bartender, so your professional life is still relatively the same, and
yeah,
that the positions are the same.
The spiritual side of me had a lot to grow.
So once that switch kind of flipped on and you were evaluating everything, like how did that look like when you were looking at the gym and you were looking at bartending? Like, did it change?
Actually, it didn't. It didn't really change. What did change, though, was the blessings that came after it, right? Because when you allow God to be in one part of your life, he will actually bless you in all parts of your life.
Mm.
And that's where it's at for myself, where I was comfortable and I was set career-wise, right? Mm-hmm. Where I'm comfortable enough to feel, in a way, feel comfortable to say that I am a manager or I work at Lotus Club Fight and Fitness,
mm-hmm.
and that I am also a bartender. It's nothing to be ashamed about, right. Let alone it's something to be proud about, right?
Yeah.
So I was okay there. What I was ashamed about is my stance on my spiritual self, my stance on who I am to God, who I am as a child of God. And I wasn't ashamed more so in people's eyes. I was more ashamed of God's eyes because I started realizing a lot of things before I realized who he was in my life,
mm-hmm.
that he actually pulled me away from.
Mm.
And I started realizing, like going through all of these memories and started realizing that was God in my life. Like this, if I got into that car, I wouldn't have been here. If
right.
I went there, I wouldn't have been here. And I'm just like thinking to myself, if I didn't have this coming to God moment, I wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I started thanking God and the gratitude for God and the gratitude for what he has done in my life started really, really sinking in to the point where I was ashamed to be even called to be deserving of this honor of fulfilling my purpose. And the one man, when I started saying that in that week, a message came to me and it said, it went around the lines of something about God doesn't call the qualified.
He qualifies the call. Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was like, man, okay, all right. Stop feeling bad for yourself. Stop feeling like, oh man, I feel bad. Like, okay. Just know that God's calling you for a reason and just trust in that and then just go with that. Because, hey, nobody likes a pouty mouse going every step of the way like, oh, man, I don't deserve it. Like, dude, quit your yapping and feeling bad about yourself and just know that here, I know you don't deserve it, but this is what you're getting. And just fulfill your purpose. Fulfill what you're meant to be here for. And that's where the shame and the guilt went away. We're like, all right, God, show me what you want me to do, and I'll do it. And that's where the blind faith came around and everything of the sort. Yeah.
Mm, that's interesting. That's good. Like, all I can think about is, do you listen to David Goggins at all?
I do,
and, you know, like, I always think about it a lot because he calls it his, like, because he's the roughest dude and his language is the roughest. But then he'll be like, and I was a poopy pants. And you're like, but it's like the perfect example. And, like, how many times have we been caught just, like, in the, like you said, in this pouting poopy pants where you're missing it. And God's like, look, I'm giving it to you so you can. I'm going to get it back. Like, don't you worry. Like, you just need to go do your part.
Yeah.
And play the role.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's good to have the humility, but then as soon as humility starts to interfere with the faith, it's not humility anymore. It's pride.
It is.
And it's starting to say, like, hang on, God, you don't really know what's good for me.
Yeah.
I do, and I know that I know better than you, and you're wrong for calling me into this. You know?
Oh, my gosh,
so
yeah.
It's interesting how that transition happens, you know? And so one of the things I'm really interested in, too, is how has, you know, martial arts and your faith interacted since then again? So one thing, actually, before we jump into that, I wanted to comment, too, is that it was fun listening to you say some of that stuff because, like, you could hear you were kind of somebody who said yes, whereas, because I'm looking at my own experience where I'm somebody who says no, right? So, like, I gotta be like, here's this opportunity, and I'm like, no, hang on, it's not safe, no, and you were like, yes, let's go to New York, yes, let's go here, yes, let's do this, and so by saying yes, you ended up getting into that place, and so the fact that you didn't have to reconcile your life once your faith kind of was sparked alive was because you were following, like you were saying yes. Whereas for me, I said no to everything, that there was a lot more reconciliation. And I'm still, like, living a life you know, like my day job, I'm a cube monkey. I'm like, that's not what God called me to be.
Yeah.
But because I said no my whole life, I'm in a spot where I don't want to be.
Yeah.
Whereas if you say yes more, you end up in the spot, and then you don't have to reconcile.
Yes.
Right? Then the faith can just kind of bring it alive.
Yeah.
And so how has the martial arts interacted with your faith, and how's your faith interacted with martial arts? Like, has there been lessons that kind of cross over back and forth?
100%. Because martial arts, you have to understand, this new ideology is, and when I say new, I mean like 100 years, 200 years, right?
Right.
This new ideology of martial arts is the first time, the first thing that comes to mind when you think of martial arts, it's fighting.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you think. But martial arts is not all about fighting.
Right.
It's the way that you live.
Right.
And the lifestyle that you live by. Martial arts, and this is the reason why I really, like, we go back to Lotus Club, but this is the reason why I stand for this place. Because this place, although we are in a generation of fighters, we are building martial artists.
Mm-hmm. So
a lot of times with athletes or with fighters, after they retire, if you notice, they tend to slack off. They tend to feel like, you know what I mean? Their metabolism is not really there or anything of sort. A martial artist, after he's done, he's still a martial artist.
Right.
Right? He's still living that lifestyle, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
It goes back to Miyamoto Musashi. And this is the guy that I've been reading, who made this book of the Book of Five Rings. Have you heard of that one?
I'm not going to say, it sounds vaguely familiar, but I'm not going to say that I know it.
So there is a actual t-shirt at Lotus Club Fight and Fitness that we actually made, which says that in order to control others, you must first control yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's from that book. That book also has this famous saying currently right now, is it's better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener at war.
Sure, yep.
Right? It's better to sharpen yourself in order to do so. The martial artist aspect of all of this actually comes from a spiritual standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about what scares people and what creates this anxiety of martial arts is the fighting aspect.
Yeah.
But what people don't understand is once when you start martial arts, it becomes liberating.
Mm-hmm.
There is this thing that happens to your mental health that allows you to understand that when you go through this type of fire or you go through this mock struggle, you start realizing that a lot of things in your life aren't really that bad.
Yeah. Did you die?
Right? Did you die? No. Did you get punched in the face today? No. Right. Like, you know what I mean? It can get worse. Absolutely. And that's where martial arts is. Mm-hmm. Martial arts allows you to harden yourself in a safe environment.
Right.
And allows you to ground you. So that way when you get cut off on the road, when you get a phone bill that was unexpected, when you get a bill that was unexpected,
mm-hmm.
you start allowing yourself to be like, it's okay. Everything is going to work out itself out. Rather, if you don't have martial arts, you will have to have another coping mechanism for you to control that anger that you might have.
Right.
Because that's what it is. It's not really anger that you're feeling. It's frustration that must be released, and mm-hmm. that's what martial arts is for. Now coinciding it with my spiritual self or with my faith, my faith gets strengthened in martial arts because of the fact that I see so many people change their life when they start being taught this way.
Yeah.
When they start being taught not as a fighter but as a martial artist. When they start allowing themselves to doing these breathing techniques that we do in the morning, when they start doing these striking techniques that we do inside our classes, let alone our Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu classes, it's it's an absolutely spiritual experience once when you do martial arts. Yeah. It's one that I recommend to everyone to do because it's a trial. It's a trial for yourself as a person to harden yourself without worrying about the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once again, going back to a safe environment where you can release your frustration. And I had this person who came up to me this other day and said, like, you know what my employee said the other day? Not an employee, but his coworker said the other day. It was like, oh, hey, so you do kickboxing, huh? So you must have anger issues. Like, no, I don't have anger issues.
Right.
Because I do kickboxing.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
That's exactly what it is. And that's where I feel like faith and or my faith and my spiritual side really mesh well with martial arts.
Right. So, yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think it's, you know, when the faith journey is much more internal than we give it credit for. Like, you got to do, like, we always look at the outside, right?
Yes.
Like, are you feeding the homeless at the soup kitchen? You know, things like that. Is it good? Yes, that is absolutely something everybody should do. But there's deep work that has to be done.
Yes.
And it's hard to do real deep work because that requires a level of confrontation or conflict that most of us are not comfortable with. And so you won't go in there.
No.
Right? And so, like, I remember I did do some martial arts, not a lot, but, like, I did one with a mixed martial arts for a little bit. And, like, do you know if you're a fight, flight, or freeze? Like, do you know that about yourself?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I know what I am.
Yeah.
Like, and I know what happens. And I know that, like, I'm not good at it, you know? And so then I start to see it. Like, people, conversations happen, and I'll freak out, right? Like, so how many people have missed hearing the gospel because internal response isn't trained, right? Because, like, I'm not comfortable in that situation. And, you know, I know my response and I remember it from then. So, like, a funny story that you'll probably enjoy. Like, I'm a flight and freeze, and it's, like, next level because it's all, like, it kind of goes back into some, like, childhood trauma crap that I'm processing. But, like, I want to run every time there's conflict. Like, I just want to freaking get out.
Yeah.
Right, but my synapses in my brain just fuse, right? So there is no thought processing going on. And so, like, my coach saw it, just kind of, like, shoved me in the corner and told the guy to just kind of, like, he's like, go 30%. But of course, the guy I was sparring with doesn't know what 30%
is. Means, yeah.
And so, like, my brain is so frozen to the point that, like, I'm not blinking. And so, like, when I got hit, I actually tore my retina. And
no.
I had to have laser surgery to, like, close my, keep my retina from popping off. So, like, my brain, like, when I say my brain freezes, literally, like, my whole body stops functioning.
Yeah.
I was in a corner. I couldn't move. Everything just went, like, turned off. And I was like, oh, God. And so that whole experience kind of opened the door for me to start. So then when I'm, like, having conversations.
Yep.
So when I started doing this podcasting stuff, right? Like, I remember the first time I did a video, I was in public. Like, I turned the camera around to do a selfie.
Yep.
Like, I was in Walmart. I was, like, shaking. My body was, like, shutting down. Like, I was, like, the lady on the speakerphone, you know, like, over the top.
Yeah.
Like, I was, like, cursing her because she was talking, and I thought she was looking at me, you know, like, freaking out. Totally unnecessary, right? It's not real.
Yeah.
But it's real for what you feel.
Yes.
And sometimes normal people aren't going to experience that regularly, right? But I knew that, like, if I don't just keep doing this, if I don't keep doing it, I'll always be ruled by fear.
Yep.
And if you're ruled by fear, you're not living by faith.
Yep.
Period.
A sword that is not forged is just an iron brick.
Yeah. So, like, you gotta do it. And so, like, I agree. Like, I think that martial arts is huge because it forces the internalization. Like, you have to deal with the deep stuff inside of you in order to get good or even to just make it through.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And so, I like that a lot. What about with your bartending? Has your faith in bartending interacted at much at all, or is it
my faith? More so the blessings, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
yeah. My the blessings of, like, because if you look right now, I don't even have a website for my bartending.
Right.
People literally either via word of mouth or they hit me up on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how I interact, and that's how I do my business on bartending. It's so it's been a blessing. And I will tell you this much. The way that I can put those two together is I pay tithing in everything that I make. Everything that I make when it comes to bartending and everything of a sort, it's tithing. And I don't pay tithing because of the fact that I'm being blessed. I'm paying tithing because of the fact that I'm being blessed, if that makes sense.
I got you.
And I know this, man. I really want, and I'm thankful that we're on this now, because I really want to change people's thoughts on tithing. Do not pay tithing if you are expecting something in return.
Hmm.
You have to understand that 100% of your earnings, 100% of your faith, 100% of your work goes to God.
Mm-hmm.
But all he's asking for is 10% of that. And you can have the rest. He owns all of it, but he's only asking for 10% of it.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you pay 10%?
Right.
You're stealing at that point.
Right.
You know? And with you just paying 10% allows you to understand that it's 10% that you yourself did not deserve if you would have gotten it.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's 10% that you are giving to your Father that gave you this blessing.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's where I'm at with tithing. When everyone talks about, oh man, the church just wants my money, or I don't want to pay tithing because of the fact that it's not going anywhere. Like, you just have to understand that if you are a man or woman in faith and you are struggling on the idea of tithing, understand that God owns 100% of what you make, and he's only asking for 10.
Right.
And that's where it's at. So when you look at it that way, I will be way happy to give God 10%.
Right.
And the fact that he blesses me more is just the byproduct of me. Yeah,
it's just him. That's how he works.
100%. Yep. And that's where it's at.
Yeah, I agree. And it's also kind of like a check to the spirit, too. It's like God gives you this thing, and then all of a sudden you think it's yours. That was the biggest thing for me when I started to give back to the church a little bit, was like, but it's like, I worked for this. And you're like, Did you though?
Hey, how did you get that again?
Yeah, like, exactly. So it's one of those checks, but yeah, I agree. And I see, I'm also big on, you know, like if you look around, like America is struggling with social servants.
Yes. Yeah.
We have a police shortage.
Yes.
I think firefighters are still doing pretty okay, but we absolutely have a police shortage.
At least here in Arizona. Yeah.
We have a priest shortage. Most denominations have a pastor shortage.
I did not know
most
that.
Of the big
what?
Ones do. Yeah. So most of the big denominations are struggling to find enough pastors and priests to serve their people. And it's because nobody wants it. Like, it sucks because you're hated. Right? Like, who thinks of, like, I want to go into the priesthood because I'm cherished and I'm loved by my community, and my community will care for me?
Yeah.
Zero people, because the community doesn't love you or care for you. Right? Yeah. Like, I'm talking about the larger community. Like, the local churches will care for their priests, but, like, that's the general sense, right?
Yes.
And I'm trying to think, it was the... I think it was the Lutheran Church, and I think even the American Methodist Church was struggling to have enough pastors. Like, they were like, and a lot of priests here and even in Arizona are from Africa. So the center of Christianity is in Africa right now.
Wow.
Like, the spirit of Christianity is going bonkers in Africa. And so they're sending servants to America because nobody in America wants
them. Wow.
I'm speaking in broad terms.
No, but yeah.
The volume of people becoming priests, becoming pastors, becoming police officers, social servants, is dwindling, and it's going down faster than the people. So, like, there's churches that don't have people to serve them. You know what I mean? And so, could you imagine thinking going into, like, I've seen quite a few churches where the pastor is like super old,
but
he can't retire because there's nobody to replace him.
Oh,
because
wow.
if he retires, the church just dies. It just goes away because there's nobody to backfill him. And so you're like, well, whose fault is that?
Yeah.
A lot of it is our fault, right? Yeah. Because did you care for your social servant? Like, did you care for your pastor? Did you pay for him?
Yeah.
Like, I had a church growing up where the pastor and his family of three kids, so family of five, was in an 800-square-foot home provided by the church, right? And it was like this little hut in the parking lot. And he was like, I need a house that I can fit my family. Like, we're sharing rooms, and there's one bathroom.
Yeah.
And they were like, you're being greedy, and they fired him.
What?
You know what I mean? So, like, that's the kind of stuff that happens. So, like, when you're thinking about tithing, like, one, you're absolutely right. Like, God gave it to you. It's not yours.
Yeah.
Right? So check the pride. Give it back to him.
Yeah.
Two, think of, like, if you didn't, that person that cares for you, that serves you, that teaches you, that feeds you, goes away.
Jeez.
You know, and if that person goes away, who's left?
Yeah.
You know, like, we need them. They're kind of the moral fiber, the fabric of our society, of our culture, and of the church, right? Like, they play important roles. They're a big deal. So I agree with you. Man, David, that's been fantastic. Like, that,
dude,
that's
thank you,
awesome.
Brother.
I love it. This is... Like, I'm going to be chewing on this one for a little while, so I appreciate it. Why don't you let everybody know where to find you, where to reach out, where to see what you're doing, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, you can reach me at David Wolfwood on all my platforms, on Instagram, Facebook, also on TikTok. And the one thing that I want to say to people, or a few things, but the one main thing...
Man, I'm like, this is like my whole thing, and I totally forgot to ask if you were the life lesson.
Oh, the life lesson.
My God. Like,
dang.
Every single pocket, it's our thing.
Oh, no way.
That is our absolute thing, and I'm just like, you know, whatever. We'll just toss that. No, I'm bringing it back. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay, so.
Okay.
We're not ending.
Okay.
All right, if you were going to look back on your journey.
Yeah.
And you had one life lesson that you would tell everybody, what would be your one life lesson?
The one life lesson that I would... bring it that I've learned throughout this journey. What if the biggest burden in your life is God's biggest blessing that is trying to reveal itself to you?
That's a doozy. Yeah. No, you're right.
And that's what I've learned. I've learned that a lot of people complain a lot because of the fact that they feel like God is not trying to help them when literally God is giving them the strength to help them by giving them this obstacle.
Yeah. I like that. I've been chewing on this something similar in that, like, talking about, like, the dark times, right? Like, when you go into the darkness, I mean, like, most of Christianity uses the desert as the analogy, right? But, like, when you go into the dark time, like, most of us just want to, like, sit down, cover our heads.
Yes.
And wait for it to pass, right? Because every season passes.
Yep.
But what if that's an opportunity? Like, what if God brought the dark time so that you could face it?
Yes.
And that you could dig deep, right? And, like, you could really pull out some rich, like, the gem is in the mud. Right? Like, it's way down there. It's not at the surface. It's way down there. And, like, what if the dark times, the hard times, right? Like, the burden.
Yes.
Is, like you said, the calling.
Yeah.
Like, what if that's like stand and what happens if you stand and face it?
Yes.
Will you die?
Yep.
Probably not.
Probably not.
But I mean,
it's always bigger it's not, in our mind.
It's never. It's not never. You know, like it might still be a possibility, but but most likely it's not. Yeah. Right. Like most likely it's a lesson. It's something that God wants you to have to take you to the next level.
Yes.
But if you don't face it, if you don't open it up, like. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah, you're going to be stagnant. And the whole thing, right? The whole reason why we're here on this earth is to evolve into higher beings. And it is to evolve and to serve. Like, I literally heard this sermon this other day that my mother was talking to me about. And she was like, the acronym of MOVE is M is for motivation, O is for optimism, V is for validation, and E is to evolve. And literally, you follow that standpoint with your faith, it will allow you to evolve into that higher being that you're supposed to be.
Yeah. You got to level up.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
All right, man. That's good. That's a good life lesson. That's a big one. All right. Let them know where we already let them know where to find you.
Yep.
What was the last couple? You said there was a couple things you wanted to leave with.
Right now, so once again, you can find me on all the social media forums of David Wolfwood. But right now, I really want to dedicate this podcast to someone that needs a breakthrough.
Hmm.
I feel like if you're listening to this right now and you're going through a really hard time, understand that these are two men that has been through what you've have been through as far as our trials in life, as far as our hero's journey, if you will, and allow yourself to understand that you're going through it right now. And I promise you, after every storm and after every gray cloud, there's always a silver lining. So just please, please, please understand, stay with us, stay present, and understand that there is going to be a breakthrough for you. Just have faith and allow God to guide your sails towards the right place.
Yep. Just keep moving.
Keep moving.
Keep moving
just
forward.
Keep moving. Awesome.
Right on, David. Thank you, man. I really appreciate
Absolutely.
It. All right. With that, everybody, we will say adieu.